God's grace, mercy, and peace to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Again, the word of God from Luke chapter 2, we just heard a moment ago. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." This is God's word. There are two words that are in the Bible that kind of get used interchangeably, the word miracle and the word sign. And what's the difference between a miracle and a sign? Perhaps oftentimes there really is no difference, but that word sign indicates something that points to something. It's supposed to pass on information. For example, if you head up onto the Lake Superior coastline and you head west on M28 outside of Munising, you come upon a wooden sign that says, "Welcome to Christmas." And there's a picture of Santa Claus on the sign. Maybe some of you have been to Christmas, Michigan. And that sign tells you a lot about what you need to know. It's not just "Welcome to our town," but that picture of Santa Claus let you know they embrace the name of their town. In fact, people will go to Christmas, Michigan in December just to go to the post office and send out their Christmas cards from there so that they can say their Christmas cards were postmarked from Christmas. The sign tells you something about that place, as does the 35-foot Santa Claus that is in that town. Both are signs meant to convey information about that town. That town is called Christmas, and they embrace that name and everything that goes with it. The angels tell the shepherds that there is a sign waiting for them in Bethlehem. "This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." That baby was meant to convey certain information to the shepherds who were gathered there that night. And the angels do us the favor of spoiling what that message is. They tell us before the shepherds even get there. Because after saying that this child will be the sign, the child wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger, the angels break out into a song. It's a song that in our worship service we use every Sunday, except we didn't use it during Advent. We take a break from singing this song in Advent. But the way our service works, and for those of you who aren't familiar maybe with kind of the nuts and bolts of the Lutheran worship service, what we do is we begin our service generally by confessing our sins and hearing that our sins are forgiven. And with the joy and knowledge that we are forgiven, we now join in the song that the angels sang on the first Christmas. And what was it that they sang? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace toward men with whom he is pleased." In this child that has come, this sign, God has brought peace to earth. But not just any kind of peace, not just a calm feeling, not just a, well, things are better today than they were yesterday. No, this is peace between God and man. That is why Jesus has come, to bring peace between God and man. Because, quite frankly, that peace is very needed. It's self-evident. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't even have to be a Christian to understand that there's a lack of peace in the world. War, violence, hatred, wickedness. But that need to peace extends even into our own hearts, to our own flesh needs peace. We are, in fact, the Bible describes us as being a sort of people at war with each other. Certainly in Christ, we're called to be people who do good works and serve him and please him. But we also have this flesh that we hold on to. St. Paul talks in Galatians 5 about the works of the flesh, the things that our flesh clings to and the things that by our sinful nature we're all about. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Well, that's a colorful list. All of it, though, boils down to this. The greatest war that there is not one being fought on foreign soil. It's not even one that involves American soldiers or soldiers belonging to any nation. The greatest war that there is the one that exists between you and God. Because all of these things, these works of our flesh that Paul describes, they put us at war with him. And for sure, the scriptures make clear to us that in and of ourselves, on our own, apart from God, there is no hope for peace. There's only damnation, hellfire, suffering for all eternity for those who live by the works of the flesh. We're at war. In fact, our hearts could be called the battleground. God would have us live one way. The flesh says, no, I want this heart to serve the things that I want. And so God gives a sign. That sign is a child wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Martin Luther, in talking about this very text, said that the swaddling cloths that Jesus was wrapped in, that we should think of them as the pages of the Old Testament. Because everything that God had promised to his people in the words of Holy Scripture up to that point, it was all being fulfilled in that baby. He was come to bring peace between God and man, between heaven and earth. And that peace had been needed since all the way back in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin, when they ate forbidden fruit, when they served their flesh rather than their Creator. There was no peace. There was a separation. The war was on between heaven and earth. But God, rather than going scorched earth on us, has chosen peace. And he's done it in his Son, Jesus Christ. The whole point of the Bible, and Luther's illustration is well taken, that we should see in Jesus the fulfillment of all the scriptures. That's the reason God has given us scripture. He's given us the Bible to point us to Jesus Christ. And when you look at it and look for Jesus from the very beginning, from creation all the way to the very end, you literally find Jesus on every page. You find it all pointing to him who would come and who was born this night in Bethlehem when it came upon a midnight clear, when God erased the divide between heaven and earth by sending us his only Son. In the Old Testament reading, we heard the prophet Isaiah say to us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is, if you want to turn a phrase, the true peace sign. He's the sign in the manger that the shepherds found, which showed them peace. Peace with God they could not get themselves. Peace made possible because this child came to die. To live for sure, to live as a man in our place, to be the person that resisted the work of the flesh that we cannot a person who faithfully served God without sin all the days of his life, and yet when all was said and done, he took death anyway. A death he did not deserve, but a death he died in love and mercy and compassion for each and every one of us. Because God wants peace with you. And he will give his very own son to make it happen. Tonight, we give thanks for peace on earth. That might sound ridiculous to some people to think that such a thing even exists, but it does. It exists in this child who came to be both God and man, hanging upon a cross and yet rising victorious on the third day to bring peace between heaven and earth, peace between God and humankind, peace between the one who has made you and you yourself. Thanks be for this sign of peace given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.